The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Ray Allen, Ray engineering and producing the show. Ray hasn't even eaten in a couple of days because he's trying wants to get his appetite up for Thursday Thanksgiving dinner. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is a couple of days before Thanksgiving, Tuesday, November 21st, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, that is AM 1030 KVOI. I've got our worldwide live listening. If you're anywhere near a computer, you can go to buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com, and we will live stream the show for you at the convenience of your office chair or home chair or wherever you are. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you at 790-2040 if you would like to join in the conversation. Let's go now on the live line to Bill Doley. Dr. Doley is the president and CEO of Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization based here in Tucson. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you.
About a month ago, we touched base with you and your team and your efforts to try to have the Secretary of the Interior perhaps change his mind about shrinking the size of some of our national monuments. Doesn't seem to have worked, does it?
I would say you're absolutely right about that, it's been an uphill battle, even though literally millions of Americans over the summer cast their voices out and said, please leave Bears Ears alone. The Secretary of Interior was going to his own drum and has called for the downsizing of both Bears Ears National Monument and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument in southern Utah.
Yeah, those are two beautiful Utah monuments. And so one of the downsides up at Bears Ears would be over 1 million acres, and the Grand Staircase Escalante would be also downsized, correct?
That's, again, at this point we're dealing with rumors and things that are reported from only kind of limited sources. But last week, I think it was, the Secretary of Interior, Zinke, said that I have become the administration's expert on these topics related to national monuments, and I believe that the president will be following my lead and suggestion and downsizing these two places. And probably it's going to happen very early in the month of December.
Archaeology Southwest, your organization, has been promoting the idea of a Bears Ears National Monument since 2014. That came to pass during the Obama administration. Why is this area so important, especially to the Native nations?
Well, I think particularly impressive is that you have five tribal nations, two Ute communities, the Navajo, Hopi, and Zuni, and they've got sort of different time periods that they were intensively, their ancestors were intensively using those landscapes, and right up to modern times, they still maintain some of those connections in the case of the Pueblos. And so they've banded together and said that this place is really important to us. We consider it to be a sacred landscape. And when we as archaeologists look at that place, over 100,000 archaeological sites are clearly present on that landscape.
Wow.
We took our staff up there for a staff retreat just a little less than a month ago, and experiencing that place while we've been doing all this work from afar, getting people out on the landscape so that they could see it. And I think that's an amazing thing about a national monument, is that you don't have the constraints that you often have in a park, national park, where you just have to stay on this trail exactly. You can experience that whole landscape pretty intensively. It's hiking and not driving a off-road vehicle off the approved roads and that sort of thing. It's an opportunity to protect places. It's an opportunity for the American public to experience these places and, again, to respect those native sentiments that these places are sacred.
Teddy Roosevelt, President Roosevelt, signed the Antiquities Act. He started to use it right away. Less than 2 years later, when his term had expired, he had established 18 national monuments in 9 western states. One was the Grand Canyon at over 800,000 acres. So the review that is currently going on with the Interior Secretary was to be of 27 national monuments. So in the end, does it look like Bear's Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante will be the two that will be the downsized the most?
Those are definitely the prime targets. There's four that have been called out for downsizing. One in Nevada, and it just slipped my mind where the fourth one is. But the two in Utah have always been their main targets. And I think the other thing you mentioned, that the Antiquities Act was signed by Roosevelt back in 1906. This is the first of a national monument campaign that's been led by tribal groups. And I think even though the Antiquities Act was focused on these heritage resources, it's always been used by the dominant society to create these places. And this one was led by those five tribal groups. Other groups like Archaeology Southwest and a bunch of other nonprofits have joined that campaign. But I think that's what's really special about this, is that it's finally the Antiquities Act is serving the people whose heritage it was meant to address way back in the early 1900s.
So the lawsuits, and there will be a bunch of them that are coming, will probably have at their heart, Bill Doley, that the president does have the authority to establish these national monuments, but the question will be, what about going back and significantly altering them once they're established?
Exactly. I mean, sort of analogy being a one-way street, and you can go in the direction of creating a monument if you're the president under the Antiquities Act. And every sort of opinion that I've seen from respected legal authorities says that it is a one-way street, and the president can't then come, or a later president can't come back in and say, oh, no, we're going to change that and downsize it or dramatically change it. So that will be probably the core of the arguments that are brought in lawsuits. And I would expect, there's at least two tribal lawsuits that are anticipated. Archaeology Southwest is with a team that would follow after the tribes have their suits filed. And again, I think there's probably at least a couple of others that will. So it'll be a complex process of trying to sort this out. The Antiquities Act has gone to the Supreme Court in the past. Grand Canyon required, there was a protest in one of those very early nominations for the Grand Canyon, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and it's was upheld in the Supreme Court. Other courts have held that the Antiquities Act is gives the president a fair amount of discretion. These large landscapes have been supported by previous legal determinations. So I think we're on firm ground here in terms of the president's authority to make monuments, and we're. Our legal scholars say that there's not that authority to take them away.
All right, Bill Doley, our Archaeology Southwest, your award-winning magazine, your quarterly magazine, Archaeology Southwest magazine, will be focusing on this, I guess, in February. And I strongly urge people to take a look at your website. I'm a member of your organization. You do great work. Where can people find out more, Bill Doley?
Well, thank you, Bill. Our website is, again, our full name, archaeologysouthwest.org, so www.archaeologysouthwest.org, and it's a new website, and it's very much place-based, and you should actually be able to explore a great deal of the Southwest by going to that website and finding out what we do.
All right. Bill Doley, my very best to you and yours this Thanksgiving. Thank you, Bill, for spending some time with us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks a lot. Bill Doley, he is the president and CEO of the Tucson-based Archaeology Southwest, a nonprofit organization. Shelley Fishman is up next. Shelley, with me in studio with two thumbs up. I like to hear that, right? We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, a newsmaker interview with Rick Myers, the outgoing Arizona border regent. Also, Finland? Are they doing something that may change education forever in this country? Find out on AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, we're going to consult right now with Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, how are you?
I'm well today. Another day on the stock market that is up almost 200 points, 180 points or so. I'm not sure we're exactly at record heights, but we're very, very close.
Being buoyed by the thoughts of a tax reform.
Yeah, you know, we've seen 150-point drop, then 100-point up, and then 30-points drop, and it's been seesawing back and forth as the speculation about the scope of the tax reform and which of the taxes might be reformed gets discussed more and more in the media.
One thing not being talked about, European stocks have just been having a terrific year. And the German political situation, though, has suddenly turned, let's put it this way, storm clouds around the horizon.
Right, Bill. Around the beginning of the summer, I believe it was mid-June, when Macron was elected, and then in September when Angela Merkel was reelected, the idea that the EU would stabilize and that those two people, who apparently get along pretty well, they have a good relationship, would be able to keep the EU not only together, but together and unified in terms of policy, that began to really affect both the value of the euro and also the value of stock markets. And the value of stock markets in Northern Europe had been doing well anyway, but now we began to see that effect crossing Europe. We also saw GDP increases through most of Europe that were in the second and third quarter that were probably at levels that the Europeans hadn't seen in 7 or 8 years.
If Europe catches a cold, you know what they say.
Well, if Europe catches a cold, actually the saying is the flip of that. It's that if the U.S. catches a cold, the rest of the world sneezes. But now what we're seeing is it's the flip of that, which is that if Europe or Asia catches a cold, then we in the United States are so interwoven economically that it affects our economy as well. So this uncertainty is going to have an effect on U.S. stock prices and interest rates if it continues to play its way through. And if, in fact, Merkel can't form a government, they failed again last night. And as far as I know, they're even talking about a snap election in Germany, which she could lose.
Mm-hmm. And why is it important? Well, we do a lot of business with Europe, don't
we? You know,
if
you take a look at most of the companies in the S&P 500, and take a look at where their business is done, almost 50% of their revenues are derived offshore, either in Europe or in Asia or elsewhere in the world. That says that these economies are massively integrated. And let's forget for a second whether those revenues then get taxed and repatriated and all of that. That's something that's probably not for a 12-minute segment. But that revenue and the amount of business that American business does overseas, and that is really a part and parcel of the way they make business decisions and the way they essentially account for profit profits and profitability, that's completely intertwined. So if Europe does get into trouble, you know, Asia is doing very well right now, but if Europe does get into trouble, that will kind of snowball down to the American economy as well.
How is the GDP doing over the years? You did a little research.
This was kind of fun. Well, it's fun if you like working numbers.
And you were going back to
I went back to the
Reagan?
Beginning of the Reagan administration.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just take a look at the raw numbers, the average GDP growth during Reagan was 3.21. During H.W. Bush, 2.9. Clinton, 3.875, the highest of all of them. Bush 2, 2.11, and Obama 1.53.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you get generous and you make an adjustment for Bush 2 that says the recession was kind of an aberration, you take out the year 2008, then Bush comes up to 2.46. And if you do the same for Obama, he comes up all the way to 2.14. Not great. However, if you then say that policy, economic policy, doesn't go into effect immediately, and you take all of those numbers and delay them by a year.
Which is pretty realistic.
Which is pretty realistic. Yeah. Then you get a whole different set of numbers. So
mm-hmm.
So if you take the average of the first without any adjustments,
uh-huh.
the average during Democratic years is 2.7% over
okay.
almost 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the average for the Republicans, guess what?
Hmm.
2.7%.
Wow.
Okay. So that will tell you that perhaps tax policy doesn't really affect GDP growth.
Mm.
And that brings me back to the story. And we discussed this several times on this show. David Leonhardt, when he was the bureau chief of the New York Times down in Washington, did some research to try to correlate tax increases and decreases with changes in the GDP. And what he came up with was a very interesting number. It turns out when you raise taxes, GDP growth goes up. When you lower taxes, GDP growth goes down. So he took those numbers over to Paul Ryan. And Ryan said, well, I get the numbers. I understand that the numbers are probably accurate. But correlation does not mean causation. So what Ryan was saying is that tax policy really has no effect on GDP growth. And that's one of the few things I agree with Ryan about.
Hmm.
So if you take that into the current day kind of discussion about what's going to happen with this tax policy, the likelihood of it changing GDP in any significant way is pretty low. However, I do want to get back to one number, and this gets wonkish, of course. If you take a look at the averages, when you do the one-year delay, it changes the numbers, and during the Democratic years, the average GDP growth has been 3.04. During the same years, the Republicans, 2.52. So that kind of backs up a little bit what Leonhardt was saying, that when you raise taxes and start dealing with the income disparity and what's happened over the same 40 years as the middle class has been kind of trampled down and the top 10% has done very well, it does have an effect on GDP growth because of the lack of the ability of the middle class to fully realize what they do best, which is consume.
So getting back to the upcoming vote, which may come next week in the Senate, this is going to be very interesting to see how the market will react to this. Right now, it's about 50-50, I think.
It's about 50-50. I think maybe in the bubble I live in is saying it's a terrible thing, but it'll probably happen, at least the first stage of which would be that the Republicans will be able to bring this to the floor. That'll take 51 votes. And then they'll vote on it sometime before Christmas. And then it goes, if they can do it quickly, it goes to a conference committee. If they can't work out the differences, it'll go to next year.
Is this a good time, do you think, to take some profits?
You know, because of the uncertainty of what tax policy is going to be, the willingness to take long-term capital gains at today's rates might not be as high as it would be if we knew precisely what next year's taxes would be. However, we're having a year right now, and if it stays this way, we're going to have 16-17% growth, maybe more if you're high into high tech. In those cases, sometimes it's a good idea to harvest some losses if
right.
you can,
yep.
take some gains, pay the tax.
Take a little bit off the table.
Take a little bit off the table, absolutely.
All right, Shelley Fishman, thank you so much. Shelley, I hope you and yours have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. And hi to Ann.
Thank you very much. Are you going to do cooking or other folks?
Yeah, I had a big party last week.
Uh-huh.
I'm partied out.
All right.
So
maybe
we're
going to
be cooking the turkey
affair.
For a more intimate Thanksgiving.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. First tip, always ask for a gift receipt so the recipient can return or exchange a gift if it's not just right. Second tip, inquire about the store's return policy and pass along those details to the recipient. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit bbb.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. 2 days before Thanksgiving gives you plenty of time to get over to Green Things, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River Walk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Jan and Jack, the owners, pride themselves on having the largest poinsettia collection for available for sale. I think it's something like 25,000 poinsettias for the holidays. So there's a poinsettia for every type table at your Thanksgiving. They've got them in all sizes. So go by, check it out, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Again, it's greenthingsaz.com. November is National Adopt a Older Pet Month. Well, senior, not quite, we don't want to say elderly, but Marcy Vellum is here. Marcy, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Bill.
Marcy is the co-founder and board member of No Kill Pima County. Tell me a little bit about your organization, Marcy.
We're an all-volunteer, nonprofit organization. We're not a shelter or a rescue, but we work primarily with the county shelter, Pima Animal Care Center, and the public with the goal of helping the community become a no-kill community. So we support and implement policies and services that keep animals out of the shelters, help them while they're in the shelters, and get them out of the shelters as quick as possible.
When did you organize all of this?
In 2012. It's been 5 years.
And why did you feel there was the need for this particular organization?
Well, at the time, in 2012, our municipal shelter had only about a 48% live release rate. So more animals weren't making it out. And we'd heard that there was a movement. The movement wasn't brand new at the time, but there had been efforts previously. But we know that there were success stories around the country where they were saving, you know, the vast majority, well over 90% of the animals in the shelters, and thought we'd see what we could do to help.
Marcy, what do you consider, what is the definition in the animal welfare world of no kill?
We don't really believe it's a number. I think 90% is impressive, and a
which
lot of
we have achieved pretty much.
Well, in Pima County, we've at the shelter, we've at the municipal shelter, they've achieved 85% if you include the animals that were brought by their owners to be euthanized. And many of those do need to be euthanized. But now the good thing is even those are evaluated. And some of them don't need to be put down, and they're not. They're adopted or rescued. So the number isn't as important as what we like to call saving the savable.
Mm-hmm.
Depends who comes into the shelter. Some days that may be 100%. Some days it may be 80%. But overall, it's looking, it's reserving euthanasia for those that are like irremediably physically suffering.
You know, I personally gravitate toward, I know kittens and puppies, I love them. They're cute, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, your older animals, more seasoned animals, have a certain appeal. In many cases, Marcy, as you well know, they've been in one home, and the owner can no longer perhaps take care of them. The owner has died, and these are animals really in need of some loving.
Well, for sure, for sure. And even ideally, people will plan for those situations and animals won't end up in the shelter. But we know that too many of them do. And actually, that was one of our success stories this month. Just this recently, within the last week, there were a couple of cats that 10 and 13 years old. Their owner died,
yeah.
And they were at PAC.
Uh-huh.
And someone who knew the family uh-huh. found out that they were at PAC. And even though they have two cats and a dog, they went and got them.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so, yes, absolutely. That's the best ending for a situation that could have been horrible. Those two didn't stay in the shelter very long. She found out about them, and they're home now. And we're happy to share a campaign that we have to benefit those animals.
What is the campaign?
So SaveTheSavable.com is one of the campaigns of No Kill Pima County, and the purpose is to bring attention to the more vulnerable animals, particularly at Pima Animal Care Center. Mm-hmm. So it would be the seniors or those with medical or behavioral problems or animals that just have been at the shelter too long for whatever reason. And so this month being Adopt a Senior Pet month, we have a campaign that was kicked off by a $500 donation from TucsonTail.com, the pet blog of Southern Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose was to sponsor five senior animals so that each animal, Each owner adopter received $100 that went towards their veterinary care for that animal.
Oh, that's great.
Because it's one of the things I think that people are concerned about with seniors is, mm-hmm. oh, they might be sick or they mm-hmm. might get sick. And mm-hmm. So we wanted it to be an incentive and a celebration of their adoptions. And so we started off with that $500 donation, and currently we're still collecting donations through the month of November, and we're up to $2,400 at this point that we can sponsor. We've committed to 17 dogs and cats so far.
Great.
And so we have room for more, and hopefully we'll keep collecting funds, and we'll continue to sponsor senior adoptions as long as the funds last.
Is there any, you can donate as much as you want, right?
Oh, well,
I mean,
of course.
A small, all donations are welcome, right? Right.
There's all no donations accepted. All
no, yeah, there's no top yes. end or low end, really. What's the best?
Actually, I would like to shout out to Baja Cafe, who also made a significant donation of $300, which was very sweet.
Very nice. And so what would you suggest going to what website then to do this?
It's actually SaveTheSavable.com.
SaveTheSavable.com.
Yeah, and Savable has an E in the Saveable.
Okay.
Which is correct, but not the common spelling.
And so many of these seniors do have very treatable conditions. They have... behavioral issues, separation anxiety, that can certainly be taken care of with a loving home.
And a lot of patience.
A lot of patience.
And sometimes a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's certainly, we advocate for training when people are having problems instead of just pulling their hairs out and getting frustrated and letting the problem, you know, get worse.
Well, I wanted to do this segment today because Friday, Black Friday, is the 2-year anniversary of my wife and I adopting a brother and sister cats. That had come from kind of a semi-feral mom, so they had some medical issues. So you used a word that we have certainly dug deep in, patience, over the last 2 years, but it certainly has paid off. And these are animals that are now about 9 years old, so they qualify certainly as older animals. But that's certainly worth the investment. The patients, it's just so gratifying to
Thanks
see.
For the testimony.
Yeah,
it really is rewarding.
And these were animals that we saved at Pima Animal Care. And I assume I think they do it pretty much every year, a Black Friday kind of event. They'll probably be doing something over there.
Yeah. Black Fur Day or
Fur
something.
Fur Day.
Fur Adoption.
But anyway, the shelter, the new shelter is coming along, and things are looking up for animal welfare issues in this community with the Humane Society, with their new building, and then Pima Animal Care. So I think there are a lot of people in this town that really do care about our pets.
And we have a remarkable community, actually. That's true.
I think it's
unusually friendly to our four-legged partners.
Well, we're going to talk about bigger four-legged, in some cases bigger. Well, Jason Jacobs is going to be up next from Reed Park Zoo. But Marcy, thank you very much. And again, it is Save the Savable. And remember, put an E in save.com for more information.
Yeah, you can see waiting animals there as well as upcoming events and a place to help donate.
All right. Good luck with No Kill Pima County. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon. One of our fine sponsors is Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you've got some time off over Thanksgiving, and most people do, maybe you would like to take a little road trip 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City, historic Silver City. And we were talking at the beginning of the program today about national monuments, the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument. I think it's about 100 years old, that monument, one of the older ones, just north of Silver City. Certainly worth visiting the Cliff Dwellings. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the great listing of places to stay and things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. One great thing to do right here in Tucson is to visit the Reed Park Zoo. Jason Jacobs, the fine administrator at Reed Park, he's very happy. Obviously, the measure on the ballot did pass. Jason, good to see you.
It's always good to see you and be a guest on your show.
A lot of hard work went into that measure. I know Nancy and the team really worked hard.
Nancy Kluge, the director of the Zoo Society, and her board of trustees, the board of directors and their staff, they're the nonprofit support organization for the zoo. They worked so hard. They believe in the vision of the zoo to get that passed. And as we say in the zoo world, kudos, because kudos is an antelope, kudos is an accolade, but kudu is the second largest antelope, and kudos to them because they believe in the mission of the zoo, and they wanted to make a great zoo for this community.
And the 1/10 of 1 penny sales tax increase translates into what over the 10-year period?
It's guesstimated at $80 to $100 million investment in the zoo, which will be huge for the zoo. And it's the goal is to make a world-class facility for Tucson and drive economic impact of not just having a great zoo, but I can tell you that the McDonald's across the street from us, for instance, their manager wants to know when we have special event days because they need to add 4 to 5 people to keep up with the demand.
Wow.
And if you go visit the zoo on a spring day, you'll see a lot of license plates from Sonora, and they go across the street to Elkhorn Mall to shop and eat. So really, the zoo is a destination attraction, and we love that. We want to be here for the locals, but we want to be a zoo for all.
You have a special animal that's now on display.
We do. You know, there's a lot of snowbirds that come here for Arizona, and we have a snow panda. not a real snow. It's actually a red panda, and they are a distant cousin of the giant panda. And this is the first time that there's ever been a red panda on display here in Arizona. Her name is Princess Lily, and she's still adjusting a little bit. Depending on the day, she may or may not be on exhibit. But
oh, she is so cute.
Aren't they
adorable? Ray just pulled up some
pictures
of her.
Those are photos of red pandas, yeah.
Look at the smile.
Yes.
Oh, that's so cute.
And not only is it important that we have them here, but we are raising funds for red panda conservation during her stay. There's less than 10,000 red pandas left in Asia. And since she's arrived, we've already raised $8,500 for red panda conservation, $1,000 of which was raised by our teen volunteers by
wow.
selling glow necklaces at Boo at the Zoo.
So if folks want to see the cute little red panda, the hours are being right now restricted a little bit?
It's 9 to 4, and I can tell you that when you come to the zoo, our front guest service associates, they'll tell you if she's going to be on or off exhibit. We do have another red panda coming soon to join her,
okay.
A male, and they're both here temporarily as their permanent exhibit is prepared at an AZA-accredited zoo in Utah. So it's such a special thing for us to have them here, and it's an animal that I never thought we would have at Reed Park Zoo.
Are they related to what animal?
They are in the mammalian order Carnivora, which means they're in the same order as bears, cats, dogs,
wow.
otters, raccoons, mongoose, hyena, but they are the first panda. Panda mm-hmm. means bamboo handler,
uh-huh.
and they handle bamboo just like their cousin, the giant panda. And we actually have graphics at the zoo comparing giant pandas to red pandas. They're distant cousins. They're not closely related, but they're in the same mammalian order. And they're just, you know, the Chinese word for them is translated into firefox, and you can see why they get that name. They're much smaller than a giant panda, but they're really adorable. And so far, Princess Lily has been a big crowd pleaser for our guests. The first day she went on exhibit, 3,600 people came to see her. And that was a record day for early November.
And they are from, as you say, Asia, where they are somewhat endangered, would you say?
They are endangered, and they share habitat in the wild with a giant panda. They live in the mountainous forests of China and Nepal, and they are bamboo eaters, as you can mm-hmm. see from the photos.
Yeah.
If you've never seen one, folks, you got to Google search red panda, and you will see how adorable they are.
So cute. Getting back to what is planned for the zoo, just can you give us an overview of some of the exhibits that now can move forward?
Well, this year you're going to see exhibits that are already in the works for alligators and South American primates. Long term, some of the things that the zoo is looking at is an expanded area for tigers so that the zoo can become a major player in tiger conservation and breed these cats, an African lodge, a climate-controlled exhibit building for animals like reptiles, amphibians, small mammals that might not do so well. Reptiles might do well here in our summertime, but during this time of year, they wouldn't do so well. So, and really a focus on interactive spaces for families, perhaps a playground that's animal-themed. So really some great plans. Nothing is set in stone yet, and certainly we would love to hear from some of our community members as to what animals they'd like to see. If they say dolphin, we can't do that, but you know, other things we can potentially accommodate.
What is your footprint?
We are 24 acres.
Okay. So is there, you are limited in size of what you can do.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, we're never going to be the
no.
big San Diego Zoo no. or Columbus Zoo, but a zoo doesn't have to be large to meet its mission. You know, one of the exhibits we opened this summer, I think we've talked about, was the dart frogs. And amphibians
right.
are, you know, they have a lot of challenges, but they have a story to tell. They're a small animal with a big story to tell. every animal has a story, and that's our job at the zoo, is to tell that story to our 500,000 guests a year.
It's very reasonable. I'm a member of the zoo, and it's not real expensive to be a member, and you do get all sorts of benefits, including, you know, show up at the zoo and you get in free after you
363 days a year. We're closed Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day. And what's interesting is, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
People don't think about that. We might be closed, but we still have a skeleton crew
there. I was just thinking about that. The
taking
animals
care
have
of the
to
animals.
Eat.
Yes, they yes, are sir. Taking care of the animals. So it's just like, you know, people, and I don't want to compare what we do to the firefighters or police
right.
officers, but some folks don't realize, you know, sometimes that when you go to a Black Thursday sale, now it's Black Thursday, those people have families too.
Of course.
Just like our staff do. And they make the sacrifice. They love what they do to come in and take care of those animals on those holidays.
So you have a big event coming. There are actually going to be two zoo lights, Saturday the 7th of December, and then again the 23rd.
Well, it goes...
Maybe it isn't a Saturday. The 7th isn't. Huh? Oh, it goes over that
Yes,
period.
It goes. And then we have encore
Thank
nights
you, Ray.
After
That's,
Christmas.
Okay.
We All have
right.
a couple encore nights.
Oh, it
nights.
Goes. Okay. I got you. So it starts Thursday, December 7th and goes through Saturday the 23rd from in the evening.
Yeah, 6 to 8 p.m. And it's a wonderful event. Santa stops by and we have some great light displays. And it's just a really fun event. We have the carousel lit up, and we also have some encore nights after Christmas that people can stop by. And the holidays is really a great time to come to the zoo. The cooler mornings, the animals are really active. Morning is always the best time to get to the zoo. And we're just looking forward to having a great season.
So 24 acres, and how big a operation is it? You're overseeing how many employees and volunteers?
We have about 60.
How many folks are in part of the portfolio?
About 60 full-time employees, and we have well over 100 volunteers and 500,000 visitors and 400 animals. So it's a big family.
What would you say that is kind of your signature animal?
I would say our program for elephants and anteaters and tamandua.
Tamandua?
It's a lesser anteater.
Huh.
And we
from
we,
South America.
South America, yeah. It's T-A-M-A.
T-A.
Well, it's going to, there it is, tamandua. Oh. It pulled it right up. And
yeah. Wow. Oh, what a good looking animal.
Really cute.
The black and
almost
beige,
blonde. Yeah.
Yeah, almost blonde, like a golden fur. Beautiful.
Yep, they tend to spend a lot of time in the trees, and they're
love the way the baby rides on mama's back.
They're called also the lesser anteater. And do you know why? Someone asked me once, well, why do they call it a lesser anteater? And I said, well, because they eat less ants than a giant anteater. But they're much smaller, too.
Yeah.
Whenever I can put a joke in there, I do.
There you go. All right. Jason Jacobs, administrator at Reed Park Zoo, a great facility on 24 acres. From a personal point of view, as the administrator, the morale of the employees, not that everybody would suddenly, if it hadn't passed, wouldn't come to work. But, I mean, people seem, do they seem to kind of, this was a morale booster.
Yes, it's the biggest vindication you can ever have, that the people who visit our zoo, the people
right.
decided, I don't mind mm-hmm. spending some tax dollars to make this zoo a better place, to make this community a better place, and they voted for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hands of the voters, and the zoo isn't going to let them down.
The red panda, how was the animal transported to Tucson, and where did it come from?
It came from the Miller Park Zoo in Bloomington, Illinois.
And how did the animal
it was,
travel?
It traveled via just commercial airlines in a little sky kennel, and our general curator picked it up from the airport and gave it some bamboo, and it was settling in the next couple days.
And its mate, or hopefully its potential mate, will come from where?
It's going to come from another accredited zoo in Oklahoma. I don't know its name, but I keep calling it Oaky Red. I think that'd be a funny. They're not going to respond to their names. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's not like a dog or a cat. But we're looking forward to him coming in a few weeks, and then they'll be here for till probably early March, and then they'll go to their permanent home. And it's a great thing because, like I said, we're raising awareness for them, and we're raising great funds to help red pandas in the wild.
Well, the whole idea of animal transportation is kind of something behind the scenes, but I'm sure there are that you and your other administrator colleagues in the profession know who can move an animal.
There is a lot of logistics, especially when you're
from overseas.
Yes. We moved an elephant from Tucson to San Diego in September of 2016. That was a big, big job.
And the animal's fine.
Animal's fine. In fact, he's gone on to mate with several female elephants there, so he's doing really fine.
He's very fine, very happy. All right, Jason Jacobs, good to see you. My wife and I will be coming out to visit you in December for kind of a behind-the-scenes tour. I'm looking forward to that, especially seeing that cute little red panda.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to showing you because you've been such a great cheerleader for us.
I'm a big supporter.
We All know right. you are. We appreciate it at the zoo. We'll pay you in bamboo like the panda.
All right. Jason, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shaw joining. Ray Allen and Mike Shaw together do Mic Check with Mike Shaw from 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson from 6 to 9. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you. Our show on Thanksgiving Eve tomorrow. Until then, Ray says, have a great afternoon. So does Bill. And so does Jason. Have a great one.